Be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon this morning comes in a form of a question. And the question is, why are my prayers unanswered? Based on our epistle lesson, the words of St. Paul, which read, "A thorn was given me in the flesh, and three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness." I once saw a sign in a quick print store, right on the window, and this is what the sign said: "Quick printing services for those who want everything yesterday." And in the fine print, it said this: "We cater to those people who put off to the day after tomorrow what they should do today. And when they want something, they want it yesterday." Familiar with printing services, Ewol? You bet. How many people, though, and perhaps you also, how many people handle prayer in this way? We put off prayer until there's a crisis. And then we pray, and then what is wanted is an answer, is some action, is a miracle. And by golly, God, we want it right now or yesterday. Now, it's true for St. Paul, and it's true for us. And please notice your sermon outline this morning. What color is it today? The gold color. Notice your sermon outline as we go through these steps in our message. The thorns in life drive us to prayer. It was true for St. Paul, and it's true for us. Paul had a hurtful problem in his life. And nowhere in Scripture do we have a full definition of what this problem was, but Paul called it a thorn in his flesh. Three times Paul went to God about this matter in prayer. Three times. Listen to the text. "To keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. And three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me." Three times Paul went to God in prayer, and three times God did not answer Paul, note, as Paul wanted. That is, Paul realized God had chosen not to remove the thorn, the problem. But he gave Paul something much greater than what Paul asked for. He gave him his grace. Listen to verse 9. But the Lord said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Prayer is that place in your life where God meets you, he meets you to penetrate the deepest places of your heart. Prayer is that place where Jesus Christ begins the work of renovating your life from the inside out. Prayer is Almighty God saying to you, much like the words of your caring doctor, "Step into my office that I can take a good look at you, and we can get to the bottom of the matter." To Paul's heart, God said these words: "My dearly beloved Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is what you really need. My grace is what you need more than the answer you think you're seeking." Paul says God gave him his grace. What's grace? A good way to keep in mind what grace is to think of it in terms of an acrostic, using the letters of a word to spell out other words in a phrase. Here is what grace is. Grace is G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. The riches of God, the forgiveness of all of your sins, the assurance of heaven by God's grace when you die, God's promise of being with you through thick or thin, never losing sight of you, always walking by your side, no matter what life throws your way. That's all of God's grace. But how do they come to us? Here we go. I told you every Sunday we're pointing here. God's riches came at Christ's expense. As he laid down his life for you on that cross, as he poured out his precious lifeblood to wash away your sin and your rebellion on that cross, as he took up the sins of the world and bore the brunt of the hell's fury for you in your place, all of God's riches are yours, but they came at Christ's expense. And Paul soon discovered that God's grace was the best answer for his prayer. Listen to our text. Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, says St. Paul, then I realize in God's strength, I'm really strong." God's grace in Jesus Christ and Paul's renewed trust in that grace was Paul's strength, even when he was weak. And what does Paul call God's grace? Paul calls God's grace sufficient. Here's the definition of sufficient. Sufficient is a supply in exact proportion to a need. Listen to that again. Sufficient is a supply in exact proportion to a need. God's grace is never too much, never too little, never too early, never too late. And listen carefully to this next sentence. God always answers our prayers, but not by filling our shopping lists of gimmies, but instead giving to us what we really need, meeting our deepest needs. And please remember, and any of you who have been through instruction class with me, and I see a number of you out there, listen to this phrase again. It's on your handout. Please remember, God does answer every prayer of his children. But God can answer in one of three ways. God can say yes. God can say no. God can say not yet. But remember that no and not yet are not unanswered prayers. Now, you who are parents, you don't say yes to everything your children ask you, do you? Do like this. Let me hear those marbles rattling. Oh. We parents don't say yes to everything our children ask us. Why? Because you know better than your children what is really the best for them. And how much more true is that for you and your Father in heaven? When he might say no or not yet, it's because Father knows best. Please also note, and this is the second part of our outline, prayer, time with God in prayer gives us God's strength. So-called unanswered prayer can make us stronger. Listen to verse 9 again. Paul said, "But the Lord said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness.'" Paul says, "Therefore, I'll boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Christ's strength, believe it or not, this goes contrary to the wisdom of the world. Christ's strength can achieve its purpose in our weakness. Our faith and obedience, our spiritual and emotional toughness, our ability to know and lean upon Christ's strength may only become real when the first time we realize we cannot rely on our own strength, but we must rely on God's. Paul said it this way, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Please note, prayer may not make things better in our lives. Listen carefully. Prayer may not make things better, but it can make the best of us. Sometimes God says yes to our prayers, and we are thankful. But when His answer is no, or when His answer is not yet, He may just be changing us and doing a work in us and making us stronger and better in a way He couldn't accomplish in any other way by us waiting upon Him. Look what happened to St. Paul. Whatever St. Paul's thorn in the flesh was, God in His wisdom did not remove it. Three times Paul said, God, take this thorn away. Change this circumstances. Make things better. Three times, and God said, no. Now, Paul could have reacted like my mother loves to tell stories about me when I was little, when I couldn't get things that I wanted, when it was a Saturday morning and it was raining and I couldn't go out and play ball. I'd lay on the floor and kick my hands and kick my feet until she threw water on my face to tell me to knock it off. I changed a little bit.
Just a little.
But look what happened to St. Paul. Three times he said, God, take the thorn, and God said no. Instead, living with this thorn, Paul learned that he had to lean fully on God's strength and God's grace. And what was the result? Paul became a mighty apostle of God. Paul became a fearless witness for Jesus Christ. Paul became able to withstand great hardships for the sake of the gospel in Jesus. St. Paul started countless churches, and he wrote 2/3 of what we now call the New Testament. Now, none of this could have happened if Paul did not fully lean on God's strength and try to lean upon his own. You see, as Paul said, his weakness really made him strong as he leaned on God. Our last point today, Paul learned, and so can we, that the real answer to our prayers is not necessarily the answer we want, but the real answer to our prayers is the peace that comes when we abide in Jesus. Paul experienced Christ's presence and His strength in a brand new way. Listen to these verses again. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power of Christ resting on me. In the Greek New Testament, the phrase really says, Christ's power pitching a tent on me. The abiding presence of Jesus covered Paul like a tent, and Paul knew it, and Paul felt it, and Paul loved to boast about it, especially in his times of weakness. You see, Paul's seeming unanswered prayer gave him the best gift of all, a brand new realization of the strength and abiding presence and grace of his Lord Jesus Christ. Now, finally, and at this point, if you haven't been, I'm encouraging you now to look at your outline, the final 5 points. Here are 5 truths about prayer taken from Holy Scripture that I want you to take home with you today. By the way, if you're not in the habit of taking the sermon outlines home, start a new habit. The reason I produce them is so that you can have them, and today's outline is particularly practical. 5 final truths about prayer taken from Scripture. Point number one, my Lord Jesus Christ knows what is best for me. Would you say that with me? My Lord Jesus Christ knows what is best for me. So-called unanswered prayer really can be God's answer, that the time isn't right yet for what you're asking, or what you're asking for isn't in His plan for you. It's not the best for you. Second point, we can learn a great deal when we're in prayer's waiting room. Now, I know none of you really enjoy going to your doctor and waiting in the waiting room a long time. But in prayer's waiting room, that is, in the times of waiting, we can learn with St. Paul that my Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient. It's a supply than more than meets my needs. And the sufficiency of God's grace in Jesus is a far better answer than what I think I need as an answer to my prayer. Thirdly, be thankful that God does not answer all the prayers as we want. This truth is from Holy Scripture, but it's commented upon in that great country western singer and theologian, Garth Brooks, when he sang a song that said, "Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayer." Be thankful God does not answer all our prayers as we want. We trust Him. As a child learns to trust his mother or father, and we soon learn, Father does know best. Mother does know best. And oh, what disasters we will avoid because we did not get what we thought was the best for us. Fourthly, now we're not going to preach, we're going to start meddling, but we're close to the end of the sermon. Some prayers seem unanswered because we will not do what God has already clearly directed us to do. Our continual asking in prayer can be simply our avoiding or our refusing to do what we already know God wants us to do. And what I've tried to say all through the sermon is the last point. There really is no such thing as an unanswered prayer. Years ago, a very devout and pious woman in Scotland, Everett, her last name must have been Muck something, I don't know, MacDonald or MacKenzie, or for years she prayed for a baby boy and God answered her prayer. She then prayed for him every day that he would become a pastor. And when he became older, he did enter the seminary, but before he finished, he dropped out. He became a banker and died a very successful and wealthy man. Now, the mother outlived him, and she was, of course, saddened by his death. But she was particularly saddened because her prayers for him seemed to go unanswered. But when her son's will was read, after caring for his aged mother, his vast fortune was given as an endowment which began Kentucky Theological Seminary to pay for the education of men who didn't have the money to become a pastor and pay for their education. And because of his gifts, thousands of men studied and became pastors to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. You see, this mother's prayer was not granted as she wanted, but it was answered in a way she could ever imagine. My dear friends, today we give thanks to God that He does answer His children's prayers in His time, in His way, always giving us what we need the most of right now, His grace, which is sufficient for us. God does answer our prayers, always, for our good, in the name of Jesus, amen.